Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. After months of waiting, the first legal sales of recreational marijuana in Massachusetts could be just days away. Two shops that have been selling medical marijuana are making the final preparations before opening their doors in the next few days to anyone over the age of 21 to buy recreational pot legally. WBUR's Steve Brown visited the two dispensaries and tells us how they are and how their communities are getting set for the big day.
The doorbell at Cultivate in Leicester is expected to ring often when adult-use marijuana customers descend on the central Mass town just west of Worcester. Cultivate's dispensary manager, Jennifer Miller, says they are ready.
We were ready for it in July,
when pot sales were thought to begin.
I think that we've taken all the necessary steps to make sure that we are very well prepared. We've had a lot of time, so we're ready to go.
More retailers will come online across Massachusetts, but for the first few days anyway, Cultivate and New England Treatment Access in Northampton will have the retail market all to themselves. And the market is expected to be booming at Cultivate, for the initial rush, customers will be directed to a satellite parking lot a half mile away. Shuttle buses will ferry customers between the parking lot and the store, which is located on the outskirts of town, just off of Route 9. Miller shows me around the retail area, where she says card-carrying medical patients will still be a top priority.
The way that the dispensary is organized is essentially we have two registers here to the right that will be just for medical patients only, and then these other eight here, so 10 in total, will be for adult use. So by regulation, we have to separate the two, but it's actually a benefit to the medical patients that they have a dedicated service area just for them.
Medical patients will be able to buy cannabis products in greater quantities, higher doses, and tax-free. Retail customers are limited to 1 ounce of flower or 5 grams of concentrate per transaction, and will pay a 20% tax on the purchase. With tax, an ounce of flower, your, say, traditional marijuana, could run as high as $420 an ounce, and prices could go up if demand is high. Leicester Town Administrator David Genero says the community is embracing the new industry and Cultivate.
We think they'll be a good bellwether, and we think they'll be a great neighbor. Nobody in the area of Cultivate has had any complaints about their operations up to this point. So, you know, I think that sets it up pretty well.
35 miles west of Leicester, the staff of New England Treatment Access, or NETA, is getting ready for retail sales as well. NETA has also been serving medical marijuana patients, opening its doors in September of 2015. Unlike Cultivate, which is somewhat remote, NETA is located in a busy section of Northampton, just off Interstate 91. NETA's Director of Compliance, Amanda Rossitano, is hoping the initial days of retail sales go smoothly.
So I think for me, it's going to be, you know, just being on my toes and making sure that everyone's taken care of, and that if anything does come up, that we can really quickly address that and have a plan in place to continue to have a smooth, effective operation and really have a positive impact on this community.
Retail customers will have to show a government-issued ID in order to enter the store. Cannabis sales consultants like NETA's Jake Moriarty will be manning the registers and assisting customers.
Me personally, I'm very excited for it. With the medical, we've been helping so many people in the state of Massachusetts improve their lives that I'm just looking forward to helping out a bigger scope of the public.
One unknown as the first day of sales approaches is exactly how many people will be heading to the two dispensaries. Lines will be long and there is certain to be traffic. Leicester Police Chief James Hurley says they're putting a special operations plan in place.
We're ready to control traffic. We're ready to control a crowd. We're basically ready for any type of situation that might arise based upon the opening. We do not anticipate any problems, but we always prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Also hoping for the best are other businesses in the two communities who are banking on a bump from cannabis shoppers visiting town. Ali Jaquiro owns Dobra Tea in downtown Northampton.
I've actually had friends and people that have just come into the tea room that had planned trips to Northampton over the summer because Netta was supposed to have opened already. So it's already created a buzz all across the country.
It's not clear how long Netta and Cultivate will be the only two adult-use retailers open to the public. 55 more retailers currently have applications in the pipeline, and all are hoping to get in on the action as soon as they can.
WBUR's Steve Brown reporting there on the dawn of legal recreational marijuana in Massachusetts. And to keep up with the latest updates on Massachusetts' legal marijuana industry, check out WBUR's Green Rush Facebook group. So, as marijuana becomes legal, traditional tobacco products are facing more restrictions. Just yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration put out new proposals to restrict the sales of flavored e-cigarettes and completely ban flavored cigars and menthol cigarettes, which account for a third of all cigarette sales. Menthols have been around for a long time. Here's a 1960s Newport ad.
Newport tastes smoother day after day. The smoothest tasting menthol cigarette.
All right. Well, joining us now is Dr. Mike Siegel, a professor at the BU School of Public Health and author of the blog Tobacco Analysis. Mike, good to see you. Thanks for coming back in.
Well, thanks for having me.
So what is the FDA proposing to do exactly?
Well, there's really two aspects to this. The first deals with electronic cigarettes and the other deals with real tobacco cigarettes. For electronic cigarettes, they're basically saying that you can't sell a flavored e-cigarette in any store unless it is only accessible to adults only. With respect to actual tobacco cigarettes, they're proposing a ban on menthol cigarettes. This would not go into effect immediately. They would have to issue a rule and would go through a rulemaking process. So we're looking at least probably 2, if not 3 years down the road, whereas the store restrictions on e-cigarettes would go into effect in 90 days.
So store restrictions and the idea you would essentially create a part of the store where only people of age could go to buy these cigarettes?
You could do that, but in essence, if you think about most gas stations and small convenience stores, they just don't have the room to be able to have a separate room to dedicate to that.
Yeah.
So it does, I think, for the most part, it's kind of a de facto ban on the sale of flavored e-cigarettes in most of these facilities.
Interesting. So what's the rationale behind it? I mean, cigarettes are cigarettes, but let's talk about menthol cigarettes, for example. Why talk of banning menthol cigarettes?
Well, the menthol in cigarettes is put there for a very specific reason, and that reason is that menthol is an anesthetic. And it literally anesthetizes the respiratory tract, making it easier for people to tolerate the harshness of the tobacco. And it's especially there because it enhances youth addiction. One of the things that keeps youth from smoking is that when they try it, it's so harsh, they cough and they you know, immediately turn away from it.
But menthol has a sort of smoother, cooler, menthol-y flavor. So is that the idea?
That's exactly right. Yeah. It creates that anesthetic effect, and so you don't get that harsh feeling that you might otherwise have.
Right. Interesting. So, and tell me who's most affected by menthol cigarettes. I mean, I understand that there's especially high use among African-American youth. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. We know that overall about 40% of youth who smoke menthol brands, but among African-American youth, it's closer to 80%. So this is a regulation that in some ways should have been done back in 2009. Back in 2009, they banned all flavored cigarettes except for menthol.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some ways that was, I think, a disservice to the African-American population. Why should their youth be excluded from protection? So this is in some ways a long time coming.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was really puzzled by that. I remember when they put that ban in on flavored cigarettes, and I remember wondering why menthol was somehow excluded because, after all, they're flavored cigarettes. What explained that?
Really, to be honest, what explains that is that menthol is a flavor that was actually used by many, many smokers, whereas all the other flavors that were banned, you know, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, cherry, you don't see that. There really were no cigarettes on the market in those flavors. So I think it was more of an economic and political decision. And I think it's good to see that the FDA now is kind of putting politics and economics aside and saying, look, this is just a health issue. Menthol is leading to increased addiction among youth, particularly African-American youth, and we're going to, do what we should have done before.
Does any of this surprise you coming right now, coming from the business-friendly Trump administration? I mean, I'm not sure this is the kind of regulation proposal that we would expect in this sort of regulatory climate right now.
Well, it definitely is unexpected in the sense that it's really not consistent with the way the administration has handled other public health issues. But I think the reason for that is largely that it's just not on the radar screen. I think that the administration has really focused on reducing regulations in other areas, and this has kind of slipped through. And you know, fortunately, it's tobacco use is probably the nation's number one preventable cause of death. So it's a good thing that you know, this is at least one area where we're seeing an increase in regulation.
And are there any numbers or studies that would suggest that if you banned menthol cigarettes, flavored tobacco, which other flavors, as you said, have already been banned, but that if you just got rid of menthol tobacco, that you would actually do appreciable good to public health?
Well, it's really hard to do such a study because in order to do that, you'd have to have a ban to study,
right,
and we haven't had that. So it's really hard to have empirical evidence. So really all we can go on is kind of the conceptual hypothesis, which is that menthol is important in the initiation process for many youth. And so I think that it will have an effect. I'm not so sure it'll have a huge effect on adult smokers because there are other brands that they can switch to. But I think in terms of youth smoking initiation, I think this is just another action that's going to make smoking even less cool and less accessible for youth and hopefully continue to drive the amazing decline that we've seen in smoking in the past decade.
Mm. Now, is this a done deal or what else needs to happen for these regulations to go into effect?
Well, the e-cigarette regulations are a done deal. The FDA has the authority to put these restrictions on the retail sale. But the menthol regulation needs to go through a rulemaking process. And so they have to formally promulgate it as a rule. There's a public hearing, public comment period, and perhaps it'll be challenged by the tobacco companies.
I guess we would assume that it would be challenged by the tobacco companies, right?
We would assume that. And
yeah.
And then we'll see whether whether it withstands the legal challenge. But it will be at least several years down the road before we would see that.
So how do you assess these proposals coming from the FDA this week? Do they go far enough? Would you like to see them doing more?
Well, I don't think it goes far enough because what is the logic of taking e-cigarettes off the shelves but allowing cigarettes to remain? You know, it's in some ways, I think, although vaping is certainly a problem that we need to look at, we can't forget about the fact that smoking still kills 400,000 people a year. About 8% of high school students still smoke. And even though it's obviously losing popularity, it's still the leading preventable cause of death in this country. And it's still estimated that 3,200 youth try a cigarette for the first time every day. So I think we can't forget about that. And, you know, it doesn't make sense that a youth should be able to go into a store and buy a cigarette, but not an electronic cigarette. I think what we really want to be doing is to make sure that the safer products, the electronic cigarettes, actually have a competitive advantage in the marketplace, not the opposite. And interestingly, the tobacco stock analysts, when this rule was announced, actually recommended that investors invest in tobacco companies. They actually put a buy recommendation for Philip Morris. And I think that reflects the fact that the concern here is that if e-cigarettes are not available, that many ex-smokers who've been dependent on vaping may actually return to smoking.
Interesting. So e-cigarettes, I mean, at one point they were regarded as smoking cessation devices, right? Or at least substitutes for smoking actual tobacco. But aren't they sometimes seen as, I guess, a way into smoking real cigarettes? So would that not be a reason to keep them out of the hands of younger would-be smokers?
Well, I think the main reason that the FDA is taking this action is because one particular brand of e-cigarette, the Juul,
right,
has become extremely popular among youth. And it happens to be the one type of e-cigarette that is most addictive. We are seeing youth become addicted to the Juul. And so I think getting the Juul out of retail outlets is a huge step forward for public health. But I would argue that, you know, if you're going to take the Juul out, if you're going to take flavored e-cigarettes out, then why not just go to the full step? And why not just say that you can't sell cigarettes in an outlet that is frequented by youth? You know, for alcohol, we pretty much restrict it, with some exceptions, to adult-only facilities. And so if you're going to do that with e-cigarettes, why not do it with the real thing?
All right. Well, Mike Siegel is a researcher and professor at the Boston University School of Public Health and author of the blog Tobacco Analysis. Dr. Siegel, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, listeners, stay with us. Coming up, Mookie Betts is the new MVP of the American League. Is there anything this guy hasn't won? Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.